This call is being recorded.
Good morning. Welcome to Declare Victory. Has anyone else joined the call this morning?
Morning, Susie. It's Deborah Evans.
Good morning, Deborah Evans.
Good morning.
How are you doing?
I'm doing good, and you?
I'm doing fine. How's your daughter?
Yeah, how's your brother? Is your brother make it home safely?
Oh, yeah, he's here visiting. good to see him. So good.
Nothing like family.
Oh, how's your daughter?
She's doing good. This is, what do they call it, Spirit Week. So she's just been having a blast. And then this weekend is homecoming, so she's really excited.
Oh.
And no homework. She keeps reminding me, and no homework, Mommy.
That's awesome. That is great. Has anyone else joined the call or would like to say good morning?
Good morning, Victory family. This is Pam. I love you guys, and have a blessed day.
Love you right back, Pam. Good morning, and the same to you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Anyone else like to say good morning? Good morning. Welcome to Declare Victory. Has anyone else joined the call?
Good morning, Sylvia.
Good morning, Sylvia. Anyone else join the call who would like to say good morning?
Good morning. It's Barbara.
Good morning, Barbara. Excuse me.
God bless you.
Thank you. Silly allergies. Anyone else join the call who would like to say good morning?
Yo. Good morning, family.
Good morning, Brother Eric. Did you see my message I sent you, Brother Eric?
Was it on Facebook?
Yes, on Messenger.
No. Let me go and check it out.
Okay, thank you, Brother Eric.
You're welcome, my sister.
Who was that?
Good morning, Diane.
Good morning, Diane.
Good morning, everyone. Happy Thursday.
Good morning. This is Lanka.
Good morning, Yvonne. Good to hear you.
I love Thursday.
Good morning, this is James.
Good morning, James. Anyone else join the call that would like to say good morning?
Hi, good morning. This is Jennifer.
Good morning, Jennifer.
Good morning.
Are you a new caller?
Yes.
You are? Okay, who invited you, Jennifer?
Dion.
Oh, okay. And what's your last name?
Johnson.
Johnson. Well, we're so glad that you could join us, and we hope you keep calling in.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Anyone else join the call who would like to say good morning? Good morning. Welcome to Declare Victory. This is Susie. Has anyone else joined the call?
Good morning, Susie Q and family. Happy Thankful Thursday. This is Bubbly.
Same to you, Bubbly. Good morning. Anyone else like to say good morning? Good morning. Welcome to Declare Victory. Has anyone else joined the call? Would anyone else like to say good morning?
Good morning.
Is anyone else joining the call? Good morning. Welcome to Declare Victory. This is Susie. Has anyone else joined the call? I would like to say good morning. Good morning. Welcome to Declare Victory. This is Susie. Has anyone else joined the call that would like to say good morning?
Yes, hi, good morning, this is Mona.
Good morning, Mona. And good morning, Kedra. Anyone else like to say good morning? Well, it's 6:05, everyone, according to my clock. So before we move forward, we ask that you please place your phones on mute so we can proceed. And good morning. My name is Susie Romack, and I am your hostess for this morning. And thank you for joining us here on Declare Victory. We are a prayer call that meets Monday through Saturday starting at 6 o'clock a.m. Pacific time to edify, empower, encourage, and equip you in your walk with Christ. Please feel free to invite a friend so they can be blessed too. This month of October, journey with us here on Declare Victory as we dive deep to seek and hear from God on his will for our lives and for his kingdom in this day and age. The theme for October is now. What are we to do now? You don't want to miss the teachings, stories, and lessons that the declarers are preparing as they hear from God for his people. We have one announcement today. If you have been blessed by Declare Victory prayer call, if you have, you can give a love offering to declarevictory.org or visit our PayPal account at paypal.me/declarevictory. Your donation is fully tax deductible and will help us continue to broadcast. We thank you very much and pray it be returned to you tenfold. The prayer request on the app this morning is JC is asking us to please pray for her friend Alfreda James, whose 18-year-old daughter was violently taken from her. JC is also asking that we please pray for her son Gary Jr. and wife Nicole as they travel to the Bahamas. Thank you all. And also, we do have a new caller, Jennifer Johnson, and she was invited to the call by Dion. So we really welcome you, Jennifer, and we know you'll be blessed. The order of the call this morning is a declaration will be by Tanya. Praying and corporate praise will be done by Diane. And I'll repeat that. The declaration will be by our Tanya. Praying and corporate praise will be done by Diane. Then we will go right into closing comments hosted by the declarer, Tanya. At this time, we ask that you put your phones on mute until instructed to come off of mute. That is so very important for the continuity of the call as it is being recorded. I now pass the call to the declarer for today, Tanya. God bless you all.
Good morning, everybody.
Can someone please mute their lines? Okay, Tanya, go ahead.
Thank you. Thank you, Susie. Thank you for greeting and hosting this morning, and good morning to everybody. Just thankful today that God has blessed us to all gather together for the Breakfast of Champions. And I'm really, really appreciative of the topics that we have had over the past few months. Moni sent me a text message, and in that text message, there was just a reminder. And I still hear a little bit of background noise, so just go ahead and do me a favor. If you could double check to make sure that you have muted your line so that the line remains clear and there are no distractions. We've had some incredible topics over the year, and I'm really, really thankful. It just really blows my mind that we are in October. Like, just in a couple of months, we will be celebrating a new year, 2019. At any rate, the title of my declaration this morning is, and some of you don't know, some of you may not have heard my sound before, and again, welcome to our new caller, Jennifer. So happy that you're with us. I'm really praying that God will, believing that God will have something special for you, designed just for you today, since you made a choice to join us. Just in a few more months, we're going to be celebrating a brand new year, and I'm so thankful that God has sustained us and kept us. At any rate, I was going to say that for those of you who have not heard me share before, the way that the Lord has given me to share is primarily through storytelling, not lying, but storytelling. The Bible describes storytelling as parables. That's one of the way that Jesus shared the word, and so that's what I'm going to do this morning. The title of my heart share, though, is Make a Decision Now. N-O-W. Make a decision now. The word now, according to Webster's Dictionary, is defined as the present time or moment. In the time immediately before the present, and in the time immediately to follow. Let me put that definition into perspective. It might sound off base, but trust me and listen. It was Saturday, September 19th, 1987. The weather was perfect in San Francisco, where I lived as a newly divorced mother of three young children, ages 10, 6, and 4, and my Uncle Reuben, who was a godsend. Listen, when I tell you Uncle Reuben handled it, Uncle Reuben cleaned my house, Uncle Reuben enrolled my two youngest sons in the boys' club, he took them on outings, he cooked dinner, I went to work, he took care of everything. When he needed the car, he dropped me off and picked me up. Like, it was amazing. The kids were playing outside. And I was in the middle of doing some deep cleaning in the house. I don't know about, like, some of you may be able to relate to this. Generally, Saturdays were cleanup day, even when I was growing up as a kid, and I kind of followed that pattern. And when I talk about deep cleaning, it's like not the surface cleaning where you dust around stuff. It was take the stuff down off the shelves, dust the items. Please put your phone on mute. I don't know if you just joined the call, but we hear your background noise. So everybody, do me a favor, double check to make sure that your phone is on mute. It was taking stuff off the shelves, dusting those items or washing them, dusting the shelf, like deep cleaning. So I was in the middle. I decided that this day, this is what I was going to do. And in the middle of doing this, or towards the end of it, I received a call on my landline, the only phones we had back then besides pay phones that were strategically placed throughout the city. Yes, we are going back in time. It was from Carl Alexander, one of the brothers from my church, True Hope. I don't remember the entire conversation, but what I do remember is him saying, "Sister, I need to see you." Though he didn't use the N-word now, I could sense the urgency in his voice. Mind you, the only other communication I had with him one-on-one was just a few days prior at our church's Labor Day picnic, where he and I stood for about an hour, maybe a little bit more, oblivious to everyone else around us, as we both talked about our recent divorces, being a single parent, at work and ministry, et cetera. We learned quite a bit about each other, but it was just a conversation as far as I was concerned. At any rate, I gave him directions to my house, assuming it would take him a minute to arrive because I knew he lived in Oakland at the time. However, when he told me he was already in the city, I want to say I panicked, but I kind of sort of did. Anyway, whatever. Because the house was still in disarray, which meant I had to act immediately, like right now, to make my house presentable, lest Minister Alexander would think I was a slob. No warning bells went off. No red flags or anything like that. I wasn't fearful of him. I felt at peace, but a million questions swirled through my mind. What does Carl want to talk about? Should I change my clothes? Why was he already in the city, et cetera, et cetera. Once he arrived, we exchanged pleasantries and he asked if we could talk privately. I'm not sure why, but I suggested Candlestick Point, which is less than 10 minutes from my house and very close to our church. And off we went with Uncle Reuben caring for the children. We sat at a park bench near the water, and it was as if time stood still as he began to share his experiences since our conversation at the church picnic. As I listened to him speak, it was almost surreal. I couldn't understand how he could be telling me about experiences he had that were identical to what I had been experiencing ever since our conversation at the church picnic, and what was maybe about 10 days prior, something like that. Again, there were no red flags. I still had a certain amount, like there was still this piece that I had about his conversation. It was almost like confirming for me in a way. It was weird because I hadn't connected all of the dots yet. I knew he wasn't trying to play me because he had no idea what I had been feeling, given I hadn't told anyone, not even my closest girlfriend. Carl was absolutely sincere, but vulnerable with me. As we sat by the water, not knowing how I was going to respond. In hindsight, I realized that a spiritual exchange took place that beautiful Saturday afternoon at Candlestick Point. It was in that moment that God began to knit our souls together. God answered my prayer. My Boaz found me a lot sooner than I anticipated. I knew it in my heart, like I knew it in my knower. Even though my head was saying, "Whoa, wait a minute, slow down. Is this really happening?" Yes, it was happening. But it was happening because I decided to respond affirmatively to the right now challenge. What do I mean? I'm glad you asked. Shall we go deeper? Great. Put your seatbelt on. Every decision leads to a consequence, good or bad. even those decisions that we think we are not making when we do nothing. Listen, 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 listen. Are you listening? If you decide to do nothing, that is still a decision. It is a decision to do nothing. And the consequences, in many cases, is nothing. Does that make sense? Let me say it differently. When we decide to do nothing, we do not get the desired result. Unless what you really wanted was nothing. Now, according to Albert Einstein, we cross the line into insanity when we believe our circumstances will change, though we have done nothing to cause a change. In other words, we keep doing the same old thing, expecting a different result. Who does that? There are even some believers who ascribe to a similar belief system, except they put a spiritual twist on it. For example, they might say stuff like, if God wants me to have it, he'll get it to me, whatever it is. Or, God knows my heart. He can stop me from doing X, Y, and Z if it's his will. He can heal me if it's his will. He can get me that job if it's his will. He could do this, that, or the other if it's his will. You know what? As I was writing this declaration, it's almost as if I could picture God in heaven with a blank stare in his face. You know that one that we get when people are saying stuff to us, or somebody did something that was absolutely stupid, but you're not going to call them stupid. You know that blank stare right there. I could picture God with a blank stare and a bubble over his head that said, what? We need to stop blaming stuff on God that he don't have nothing to do with. Anyway, this insane behavior that Albert Einstein referred to is a familiar characteristic of mankind that dates back to the Old Testament. I'm reminded of the Israelites. They were instructed in the laws of God by Moses. They agreed to obey those laws, but ultimately reverted to their old nature of worshiping idol gods. That was the primary issue with the children of Israel. I need someone to please, please, please mute your phone. That was the number one issue for them, was constantly going back to the idols, worshiping idols. The irony is that they believe they would still be blessed, even though God clearly told them they would be cursed. If that is not insane, I don't know what is. The 24th chapter of Joshua details him, God, reminding the Israelites of their beginning, their enslavement, their liberation, the rewards, Joshua reminding the Israelites of these things, and as well as him establishing them as the people of God, them being established as the people of God. However, in the 15th verse, Joshua poses a right now challenge to the children of Israel. Joshua 24:15, and I'm reading from the Good News Translation. It says, if you are not willing to serve him, decide today whom you will serve. The gods your ancestors worshipped in Mesopotamia, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are now living. As for my family and me, we will serve the Lord. Even though Joshua didn't say the words now, really, when he was saying decide today, that translates into decide today. Let me reread it differently, if you don't mind. If you are not willing to serve him, decide now whom you will serve. The gods of your ancestors, your mama now, who worshipped whatever they worshipped back in Louisiana, when they might have been dipping in hoodoo and voodoo, or Mississippi, or whatever it is that they did. some other folks, your friends and them, the gods that they tried to teach you to serve or they exposed you to, whether it was serving men or serving money or serving sex or serving drugs, whatever it is that you put in, or serving work or even serving your children, whatever it is that you put in the place of God, that you don't have time to worship God because you are so fixated on this particular thing, whether it's tangible or intangible, it literally becomes your God. The Israelites committed multiple times in that chapter to do the will of God. But not long after Joshua died, they reverted back to their old nature, as is the case throughout the Old Testament. They would repent, then they would backslide. They would repent, then they would backslide. What do I mean by backslide? They would repent means to confess your fault and make a decision that I'm not going to, you turn away from that thing. I'm not going to do that again. But after a certain length of time, they would go right back to what their second love, which was that idolatry. It is so convenient for us to blame the devil or the enemy or Satan or however you define him for the challenges we face, because it frees us from taking responsibility of our actions. At least that's what some people like to think. However, I have some not so good news for you. You are not fooling anybody but yourself. Why would I say that? Well, because I want you to be free now, not later. The sooner we learn to take responsibility for our stuff, the sooner we can start the process of liberation. Yes, the struggle is real, but how did you get there? You made a decision to do X, Y, or Z, regardless of whether the enemy tempted you or not. You had to make the decision to bite, to act on the temptation. Like the Israelites, we received the word, agreed to obey it, and somewhere along the way, something happened. Galatians 5:7-8 says, you were doing so well. Who made you stop obeying the truth? How did he persuade you? It was not done by God who calls you. So if it wasn't done by God, who was it done by? What options do we have? Self or the enemy? Although many of us would first like to blame the enemy. Now you're in a jam and you want to blame the devil for the decision you made. Girl, bye. Bye-bye. Go away. But there's good news. There really is good news. Just as God didn't forsake the Israelites, he hasn't abandoned you. God loves you. Do me a favor, if you are in a position to do so, take your hand and just put it either left or right, it doesn't matter. Take your hand and put it over your heart. I want to say it again. God loves you. Selah. God loves you. No matter what you've done, no matter what you've been thinking about doing, God loves you right now, how you are right now. He just doesn't want you to stay that way. And so what he does is he sends his word in a variety of ways to demonstrate his love. Sometimes it's by a random act of kindness, an unexpected check in the mail, your child telling you he or she loves you randomly, etc. Just those things that just seem to pop up out of nowhere. A friend calling you, inviting you to lunch, or inviting you to dinner, or stopping by your house with a care package. Those kinds of things are God's way of winking at you and letting you know that he loves you and that he's concerned about you. Yes, and some of that stuff has happened when we just got out of doing some stuff we shouldn't have been doing. Just got finished letting somebody have it. And sometimes it might be a card in the mail. But he also demonstrates his love by speaking through those of us who share the living word on Declare Victory, which is designed to help you redirect your decision-making process, to remind you of God's unconditional love, regardless of what you did, as I said, last night, or the plan that you might have when you get off work today, and or the decisions you've been contemplating that you know is not in your best interest. God uses people like us to remind you of your greatness and that you will win if you don't quit. The word of the Lord for this season is now, not later. We've been putting things off for far too long, and we ain't getting no younger. Let the church say yes. Look at your neighbor and say, she got that right. Oh, wait a minute. We're not at church. Okay. Anyway, Hebrews 3:15-16 says, this is what the scripture says. If you hear God's voice today, do not be stubborn as your ancestors were when they rebelled against God, who were the people who heard God's voice and rebelled against him. All those who were led out of Egypt by Moses. If you'll allow me, I'd like to read that verse again, but I want to insert a different word. If you hear God's voice now, do not be stubborn as your ancestors were when they rebelled against God. My brothers and my sisters, now is the acceptable time of salvation. Now is the acceptable time to get it right. Now is the time to strip off the old man and put on the new man. How do I do that? You make a decision first. Now is the time to make the decision. Not later, because later isn't really promised to us. I think that sometimes we take our lives for granted. We take these moments that we have for granted, as if we'll have them tomorrow, as if we'll have them next week, as if we'll have these moments next month, as if we will have these moments next year. Time is winding up, you guys. People are dying. Not necessarily because they are out doing drugs and living a hard life and getting shot down. People are just dying as a result of, poor eating and poor judgment. Nothing is promised to us except two things I can think of. Paying taxes, unless you can figure out, like, your president and his daddy, who have figured out how to escape the system for all these years. That cracks me up. And the fact that we're going to die. That's an absolute given. The Bible says it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. We don't just die and that's it. At some point, we will all die, and at some point we will be judged based upon the life that we live. We will even, if we make a decision not to move in the now, we will even be judged for this conversation that we're having, even though it's a monologue right now. We will be judged. You had the time. You had the opportunity, but you made a decision, not you right now, but I'm just saying in general, you made a decision not to act on what you were challenged with. And not just today, the other times that you've had in your life to make a now decision, to make a decision, to make a choice, to change. We can't blame God. We cannot blame God for our situations. We cannot blame God for decisions that we made. No, ma'am, no, sir. God is not going to come down and make a decision for you when you can do that yourself. God's responsibility to us is after we've made a decision, especially if it is in the affirmative, something that he has challenged us to do, challenged us through his word or challenged us through a prophetic word that we got. And what I meant by the first word is through by reading the Bible, challenged us through a prophetic word that someone gave us, challenged us through a message like this that you've heard on Declare Victory, challenged us through the preached word that you might hear over the television or on YouTube or on a MP3 device that you might be listening to, or again, at church, no matter what it is, the word being presented to us and us given the opportunity to make a decision, whether we act on it or not, the choice has been given. If you think about it in hindsight, we've had many, many opportunities. We get choices every single day, you guys. What are you going to do with the choice that you have today, in this moment, right now, as I pass the call to Diane?
Oh, sovereign God, I thank you this morning for Tammy and that word, God. I just praise you this morning for now, Lord God, and I just give you praise today, for you are the living God. You are our spiritual drink. So, God, I praise you that you're the God that sits high and look low, that you're the God who makes our crooked path straight. God, I just give you praise for Tanya this morning. I just bless your name, oh God. And God, I thank you for another opportunity to come before you and approach your throne of grace with boldness in my right mind, my health, and my strength. God, I thank you for all that you're doing in the life of Declare Victory, all that you're doing in each of our families. God, you connected us together for a reason. God, you said man ought to always pray. So, God, I thank you for the opportunity to come before you with my petition, my concerns, oh God. You said whatever concerns me concerns you. So, God, I praise you this morning. I just give you praise and honor, and I thank you for JC, Lord God, who's asking for prayer, for Alfreda, Lord God, who lost her daughter, her son Gary, and his wife, Lord God, as they travel. And God, I want to welcome Jennifer Johnson, a new caller this morning, oh God. God, you are the faithful God. You are just. And God, I praise you because just as you added unto the disciples when they were praying to you, you were adding to this call daily. And I bless your name for that, God. I praise your name. And God, I just pray for your people this morning, that those who are dealing with life-threatening disease, and those who have lost loved ones, God, those who are hurting, those who are broken, those who have broken relationship, those who relationship with you that are broken, those who don't have relationship with you, Lord God, I lift them all up to you this morning. God, you are our Heavenly Father. You are our Redeemer. You redeemed us from the debt that we owe, that we could not pay. So, God, I praise you this morning for being my Redeemer. Lord God, I praise you this morning for being the resurrection of life. God, you are our author and finisher of our faith. You are the beginning and the end. You are the first and the last, the self-existing one. God, I thank you this morning. You are Jehovah, our relational God. You are the great I am, our eternal God. So, God, I bless your name this morning. I thank you for the healing in your children, oh God. I thank you for the healing in Josiah. I thank you for the healing in Lanelle. I thank you for the healing in baby Kyle. I thank you for the healing in Aiden Adita Pay, Lord God, and there's so many other young kids and babies and that has cancer, and God, of the adults, and
God, the world is just running rapid with disease. And God, I praise you because you are Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals. I know you as a healer because you healed me. And God, I know that you can do it, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, and if you don't, you've done enough for us. I can't thank you enough, Lord God, for all that you've done in the lives of your people. I just give you praise this morning, Lord God, and I honor you. I reverence your holy name. You are a holy God, and you call us to be your holy people, Lord God, and I just praise you today, Lord God. You said that today, if we hear your voice, harden not your heart. Harden not your heart. As in rebellion of God on the day of testing, God, you said to make sure that we know now, Lord God, that we belong to you. Don't be like those with unbelief who did not enter your rest. God, I praise you today. I praise you today for eternal life, Lord God. And I bless your name today. I give you praise and honor for you are holy God. God, I thank you, Lord God, that your unconditional love is beyond our comprehension. God, I praise you today for being the triune God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. God, I thank you for your indwelling Spirit. God, there is none like you. You are the incomparable God. None can compare to you. You are the transcendent God. I bless your name, God. You are Yahweh, the sacred God. God, I bless your name. I raise my hand to you, Lord God, and surrender. Lord God, I bless your name today. If we can all take our phones are muted. Just praise God for his goodness. Praise God for his mercy. Every morning we open our eyes. God's mercy is new to us. Every morning that we're able to move our limbs, his mercy is new to us. God, I bless your name. For you're worthy, God. You're worthy to be praised. God, I bless your name this morning. Oh, worthy is the Lamb. The Lamb who takes away the sins of the world. God, I thank you. I praise you, Lord God.
Hallelujah.
I give you
thank
glory,
you,
Lord God.
Thank you.
I thank you that you're the
thank
God.
Thank you,
Magnificent
Savior,
God.
Lord God. We honor you today, Lord. We recognize you as head of our lives.
We
give you lordship, Lord Jesus. Come now, Holy Spirit, into this place, Lord. You hear our praise, Lord. Receive it as a sweet aroma,
Lord.
Hallelujah, we praise your name. Thank you, God, that we can hear you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that we thank you, God. Thank you, Lord, for your anticipation, Lord. Thank you, God, that our hearts and our hearts are worthy.
And the earth is the Lord.
We are
still,
my Lord. We are still, my Lord.
In
time, decision now, Lord. Another day where I get to breathe, another day where I get to see, Lord God. Another day where I get to smell, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord, thank you for the ability of our bodies, Lord. Lord, thank you for our trials, our trials. Lord,
thank you for our
Lord Jesus. Lord, can you pray,
Lord?
Can
you thank you for
the
world of
everybody?
Thank you for you always
making
us waking us up this morning. Here we are in a new month, and now it's time to start all over.
I pray for David Thompson, Lord.
Many
Vanessa
said,
I am
all
Lord. I pray for Jared, Lord, that he will seek you, Lord.
Thank you for
the Lord. We are ourselves for who we are, Lord.
And
we have the power to
be
the
God
of change, Lord.
Nobody
we bless your name this morning, Lord.
You can stand against this. Nobody can.
Father God.
Thank you, Lord.
Keep your daughter, God.
Oh, thank you.
I pass the call back to the host. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Okay, now we will now pass the call back to the declarer for today, Tanya.
Thank you, Susie, and thank you, Diane, for leading us in prayer this morning. I don't have a whole lot of questions, but I would like to first open the call up to see if anybody has any questions or wants to make a comment, or, you know, God just revealed something to you about yourself, not anybody else. About yourself. Anybody?
Tanya, this is Diane.
Yes, ma'am.
I just wanna comment on your declaration this morning. It was right on time. The minute you start to read, I was already at Hebrews 3 reading.
Wow.
And when you said that scripture, I almost just start shouting. But it just reminds me how God is changing me and being on one accord and abiding in Him. And it's just spending this time with God. I've been by myself for almost 2 months, because when Emerald goes to work, I'm here by myself. And so even I'm at the leasing office reading. And just spending time with God. And this scripture has came up several times, because I love to read Hebrews. So I'm constantly reading over scriptures in that book most of the time, at least once a day. And it's just that when I read that, because when I first started reading it, I didn't have a full understanding of that particular scripture. And so I kept asking God, so God, what are you talking about? Are you talking about everyday rest or rest at the end? And it's talking about when we die. And so when you start to read that scripture, I was already there and reading it, because I connected that scripture with what you were talking about. And so I just praise God for your storytelling. You know, you're always a great storyteller, and I enjoy every bit of it. And I praise God that you are a part of my life. I love you, sis.
Diane, thank you. You are my favorite country singer. I saved that video, Diane. You probably don't even remember what I'm talking about. That video that you and your crazy little sister made one year for my cousin. I saved it. Thank you so much for sharing this morning. God bless you. Anybody else?
Hey, can you hear me?
Yes, that's the western part.
Girl, if I wasn't up in Denver in this altitude, got my throat all jacked up, I'd go into a song.
Oh, no.
Sister, what an amazing share on this morning. It was a right now. Tanya, oh my God, you blessed me. You said so much. I was going back down memory lane as you were talking about you and Carl and how he came and found you. That's just so beautiful. I mean, you had to make a decision about everything. Yeah, it's true. We blame God. We blame the devil. We're waiting on him to do stuff, and he's already done. I mean, you is so much, but I was like, oh, she's stepping on my toes in a lot of ways. But I just love you, and I thank you how you storytell, because it just brings out other scriptures. You make the scriptures come to life for me, and so I thank you, sis, and I'm just excited about now, because there are some decisions that we cannot even afford to wait, because life is so short, and we're waiting. We're just sitting in this place, and that's not just for, that's for me too. That procrastination, all of it. We don't have time to sit. We have to make decisions now that our life altered and some blessings that God has for us, because we're sitting on stuck and not moving for whatever reason. A lot of it, I think, is pride. It taps into, because if we move and we don't make the right decision, if we fail, then there's embarrassment and all that. But we don't have time to be embarrassed. We don't have time to worry about what nobody else is going to think or say. When God has given us something to do, we best to be doing it. So, Big Sis, I love you, and I thank God. I'm with Diane. You know I love you to life. And I just got woken up while I was on the call, but my nephew came down here to give me a big old hug. I didn't feel when I got in last night, but it's just good. I'm excited about the now, right now, the now moment. So I love you, Big Sis, and have a wonderful day.
Thank you, Dee Dee. I hope you feel better sooner, now. Praying that you feel better now as opposed to later. How about that one? Anybody else?
Good morning, Tan. This is Bubbly.
Oh, good morning. Hey, Bubbly.
I'm so glad to hear your sound, because I haven't heard it in quite a while. And when I saw that you were going to be up in the lineup today, I was like, oh, yeah, I got to make absolutely certain to get my tail up out this bed and be awake and alert and all that other good stuff. But the one thing I love, that scripture that you used, from Joshua, it's one of those that I remember well, and about on this day, whom you're going to choose on this day. So, and it really tied into the message about the now, the right now. And so I'm just so grateful that I'm still using you in your voice and your sound and in your storytelling, because like Dee Dee said, you bring the scriptures to life. You make it easy. You know, you can't, if you miss it, it's because you wasn't paying attention. And I'm grateful for you and Carl, because like I say, I think you guys just the I call you guys the power couple, because it's not the power that, you know, what other people may think. It's the power of the Holy Ghost and the power of God, and how he uses you two together, needed you guys together for a reason, a time such as now, and for a purpose. And I'm just excited about that, all about that. And God's choice blessings over you and Carl and your entire family. And you already know I love you, but I just say it because, you know, this now is the time to say it. So I love you. Be blessed. And thank you.
Thank you, Bubbly. That was so sweet. The power couple. I'm going to tell Carl. The power couple. Yeah, you know, that was almost 31 years ago. I make up a lot of stories, right? Well, I shouldn't say make up. A lot of my stories are fictitious, sometimes mixed with the real truth, but that one was 100% truth. The difference is that if you hear Carl tell it, he'll tell it a little bit different. Like he'll tell it like I was a weak, feeble little maiden that needed to be rescued right away. That's how he sees it in his mind, but whatever. But thank you again for your comments. Anybody else? Before I do have a question, but I want to allow another person to speak if there is one.
Sister Tanya, Sister Carolyn, thank you so much. I just to hear your voice, I'm so thankful. I didn't hear your declaration, but I will hear the replay. Yesterday I was thinking about you, and then I heard you on the call yesterday. I'm like, oh, amen. And then heard you prayer. I heard you. And then I saw the message that you were speaking this morning. I'm like, okay. But I had another call I had to do first before getting on. But I'm like, wow. And then hearing the comments already, I'm like, oh, God, yeah, I need to hear Tanya's now. It's okay. Thank you so much, sister. Love you, and can't wait to hear it. Thanks.
Thank you, Sister Carolyn. I appreciate your comment. And I believe you're going to hear a right now word when you listen to that playback. I really believe it's going to bless you. So here's a question. I'll generalize it. Why do we refrain from making right now decisions? Like something pops up, you know, and we would prefer to procrastinate as opposed to making a decision the jump started that way. Anybody have an opinion? Maybe it's not yours. Maybe it's your friend's opinion because you heard them say this before. So maybe it's not you. But anybody want to jump in?
Hold on one second.
I heard three people. If you could, it's like two at the same time, and then I think I heard Brother Eric. Am I right? Did I hear you, Eric? Oh, I thought I heard
you. No, that's
anyway.
For Simona. You know, I got a deep
oh,
voice.
Sorry,
that's
Mona. Sorry. I apologize. I love your deep
it's
voice,
okay.
By the way.
Okay. They always
so,
give you
whoever, I don't know, Sister Carolyn, and then who else was it?
Good morning, Sister Tanya. It's Geraldine. Thank you.
And Geraldine and Ramona. So can we go in that order? Can we go? Yes, Sister Carolyn, Sister Geraldine, and then Ramona, if we could go in that order. Thank you.
Thank you. I just had a brief comment to say that sometimes me or others are not ready to do the Lent. Not ready yet, but need to. Thank you.
Go ahead, Sister Geraldine.
Okay, good morning. Awesome declaration this morning. Thank you for, always every time you speak, it just really inspires me. And I'm just so grateful to be a part of your family. Every time you speak of you and your husband, my heart just leaps because I know there's hope in light of everything. And I was just talking with a friend, and when you were talking about procrastination, as far as, you know, she was offered a position. We had prayed some months ago about her getting a position, and now the position came on yesterday, and, you know, she started panicking as to should I take it or should I not. When we pray for things, we should believe that we receive it. That's what the Word of God said. He said, ask anything in His name. But I just wanted to let you know, I absolutely love when you give your declarations. They are so alive and so real. And it always helps me. And I believe today is going to be a great day because you really started it off. Thank you for jump-starting me this morning. God bless you.
Thank you, Jerry. God bless you, too. Sister Ramona?
Hello, yes. When I think about it, when you asked that question, for me, it was because I didn't, when I think about it now, I didn't think I had the right to. You know, I didn't believe in myself. You know what I mean? I just didn't want to be wrong. You know, it was just so much going through my mind. Like, you don't have a right to do that, Mona. You, even though I believed in God, I knew I wasn't in the Word. So I used to tell myself, I didn't have a right to do that. You know what I mean? So I used to say, no, don't do that. You don't have a right to do that. You know, or just not believing that, now that I think about it, I didn't believe that I wasn't trusting God at all. And I wasn't believing in the Word at all when I think about it, because I wasn't in it. But I was listening. It was more of a listening thing because I was in church, you know, or whatnot. But I wasn't in the Word. So when I think that's what cut me also procrastinating and stuck. When I think back now, why I was doing that, you know, because I wasn't believing, I wasn't trusting, I was just thinking, I was just stuck. I didn't want to be wrong, you know. It was so much. I mean, my brain just goes through so many different thoughts that when I sit in procrastination, you know.
Absolutely, I know. It is the thank you for sharing and for being authentic. When we sit in procrastination, it opens the door for being double-minded. And James talks about the double-minded man, how unstable he or she is in all of their ways. One minute they gonna do something, the next minute they're not. One minute they believe in God, and I'm talking about me too, not just anybody else. One minute they believe God, the next minute they don't. And that's a decision to procrastinate, too. When I think about that question, why do we refrain from deciding? Why do we procrastinate? I think sometimes it's fear. For me, it is the unknown. Like, how are you going to do it? So like you guys talk about, I'm a storyteller. It's because I'm a detailer by nature. Like the details help me to process. And so trying to train my brain to just trust without knowing the details is a challenge for me sometimes. And I have to, there are mechanisms, there are tools that I have to put in place. Now, it's not all the time, but it absolutely does happen to me. I have not yet mastered, just believe God completely. I'm working on it. I'm really working on it. Like, I'm so desperate at this point in my life to get it right, because I know that once I get it, I can teach it. And once I teach it, other people will get it. They'll be able to model it. Even if they can't teach it, they can model it. And if somebody asks them a question, well, how do you trust like that, or how do you know? You may not teach it, but you can testify about it. So imagine there are 100 people on this line, and we impact the lives of, you know, 2 people by modeling, 100% belief in God. It's not that it's impossible. For me, I have to remind myself, Tanya, it's none of your business how he's going to do it. It's none of your business when he's going to do it. It's your business to believe God. That's my role. That's our role, is to be obedient. Anybody have an epiphany off of that? Anybody want to add to that? Anybody have a question off of that statement alone?
Hey, Tanya, this is Juliet.
Hey.
I was thinking about what you were saying. I just wanted to add to it, kind of like, part of it is fear. And also, as far as procrastination, I found it also deals with the sacrifice. Sometimes it requires sacrifice, and being willing to make that sacrifice can sometimes make you, if you're not willing, or if you're not, you know, if you're, like you're saying, kind of have a bipolar position on it, then, you know, that will also keep you from, keep you kind of procrastinating. That's all I wanted to say.
Wow, Juliet, did you have to step on people's toes and slap them upside the head like that? A bipolar position. I'm through with you. Girl, bye. I love it, though. I love it. Bipolar. Maybe one day I'll teach a lesson about bipolar Christians. Oh, man. Thank you, Juju. I appreciate you. Anybody else? Here's the thing about fear. I heard a preacher, I think it was Dr. Ivy Hilliard, if I'm not mistaken, centered around something like this, and how we begin that bipolar position. It's not going to work. It will work. It's not going to work. It will work. God's not going to heal me. No, he's not. I'm going to be sick. I'm going to die. He said, what if you think the opposite? So I don't know if we realize it. We're really good. Most of us by nature are good at, how can I put this to make it sound right? We're good at doubting. Like that's human nature for the most part. It doesn't take a whole lot of work to doubt that we are good enough, to doubt that we deserve, to doubt that God will bless us, to doubt that, you know, whatever. It doesn't take a whole lot. For us as believers, which is why they call us believers, we're believing God for something that we can't see. Another thing is relinquishing control. That was a big area in my life, relinquishing control. Like, and one of the things that God said to me the other day was, well, if you're going to be in control, you don't need my control, so I'm just going to get out the way. Ooh-wee! And he also said, well, if you're going to use your money, obviously you don't need mine. So, you know, I'll have a seat while you go ahead and you work that out. Wow, what a reality check for me. And it doesn't all happen, you know, for me, things happen in layers. I think if God revealed his complete truth to us all at one time, it will be too overwhelming to process. I think we also have to go back to the, we have to take into, not to give it an excuse, but to start the work of transforming your mind, because really at the end of the day, that's what's necessary, is that we have to transform our mind. We have to change our stinking thinking. We have to develop a new mindset. One of the primary ways that we do that is replacing the negative self-talk with the word of God. Like, it sounds super spiritual, because it is. It may sound like a cliche, but it's not. It's the truth. So this is to me first. Even if you may not have a scripture, creating a mantra. The mantra could be, a mantra is something that you, you know, it's a statement, you know, that you proclaim for yourself. I believe God. It may not be a scripture, you know, like in, like those word for word, but I believe God. I believe God. I believe God. That is how you can begin to battle against the doubt. So one of the things, let me go back to what this preacher said. He said, for in an instance where you are doubting that something works, and there's, how could this even, how would that even be possible? It could never work. But what if it does work? What impact would it have on your life if it does work, whatever it is that you're believing God for? What if he does come through for you? How does that impact your life? Right? And this is not about getting all your ducks in a row and making sure that everything, single thing in your life is perfect. Stop putting that pressure on yourself. God knows that we're not perfect. He never required us to be perfect. He requires us to love. He requires us to be obedient. He never required us to be perfect. Now, for the person who wants to run out, that does not give you permission to live any kind of way, to make any kind of decision, to not follow the commandments that have been written for us in the Word of God. That doesn't give you the permission to do that. However, if you're doing all that you know how in that moment, like, this is all I know to do for right now. Like, before you got on the call this morning, there were some things that you didn't know. You didn't know about the story that I was going to tell about the right now. And though you may have known about the scriptures that I shared, you didn't know how I was going to break it down, right? And so some of you see it. You see things a little bit more clearly now. As a result of that, there's more responsibility to you now. And now you can believe God a little bit more, right? So he's doing things in layers for you. We can't do it all, but at the same token, even if your life is not completely together, like what Mona was saying, she felt like she didn't deserve, we have to learn to change our language and stop condemning ourselves, first of all. If you found that you've done something that you shouldn't be doing, you have the option. You can make a decision to repent and not go back to that. But Tanya, you don't understand. That thing is whatever. Maybe it's a stronghold for you. A stronghold is something that really captivates you, right? But you got to remember the word of God that says, greater is he, or maybe you don't know this. I'm going to share it with you for the first time. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. So let's look at the he's. Greater is he that is in me. That's talking about the Holy Spirit that resides on the inside. He is greater than you and your decision-making capacity. Greater is he, the Holy Spirit, that is in me, inside of me, than he, meaning the devil or Satan or however you call him, that is in the world. So Satan is the prince of the atmosphere, the prince of the earth, right? So he dwells in this earth, but he does not have more power than the Holy Spirit. His power, he has some power, he does, but it cannot equate to the power of God. It cannot equate to the power of the Holy Spirit. It cannot equate to the life-changing blood that Jesus shed for us on Calvary. I want to stop there. Anybody have a question or a comment on that? Okay, so I'll go a little bit deeper. So, how do we begin to act in the now? Take your hands off of it. If God's, yeah, and it can be hard. It absolutely can be hard. And the way, how do I take my hands off of it?
you know that God has spoken to you and told you to do a specific thing, or he's answered a specific prayer for you, right? You know that, like you know in your knower. Like I knew in my knower, even though I didn't, Carl went to our church, but I never, you know, we never fellowshipped. We never, you know, we did not have a relationship prior to that picnic. And by y'all know how church folks do on a picnic. I'm telling you, I'm the type of person that is really, really conscious of, you know, who might be looking and that kind of thing, especially at that time, because I was a single woman now. And so, you know, church folks can begin to talk, right? Ooh, look at them. What they talking about? Because it was just, nobody came up to bother, not one single person. I think we stood and talked for about an hour. It might have been a little bit more. We never ran out of conversation. I think the only person that interrupted us was my son, Timon, who wanted, I don't know, something, or he wanted to play with something, or he wanted something, and I told him to, you know, go get it from whoever. And I continued my conversation, but nobody said anything to us. Nobody came up and interrupted us at all. When I think about it now, I could only imagine what people were saying, not so much negatively, but, ooh, girl, you think they go? Yeah, they would be a cute couple, girl. No, but they, you know, that whole little conversation, it didn't even faze me. It was like we were encapsulated in this little bubble that God created for us standing. I could see us right now. I can see us standing there by the edge of the picnic table. If you were coming into the park, it would have been on the left front edge, or the left rear edge of the picnic table as we talked, right? And I didn't leave that conversation feeling all googly-eyed or whatever. I just dismissed it. Oh, you know, that was a nice conversation. You know, he got kids because he had three daughters and I had three children, because I was like, oh, no, I could never, you know, that would be too many kids. You know, I can't, I'm not a kid person. That you know, so it was nice. I had a nice conversation with him. But at any rate, I kind of went down the rabbit trail on that. But my whole point is that taking your hands off of it, taking physically, if you could get a picture of this in your mind, I'm talking about the steps of operating in the now. Once you know you've heard from God, if you could get a picture in your mind of sitting in a vehicle and you've been driving, and I don't care if you, where you are in the middle of the, you are in the middle of the highway and you, it hits you. I need to not be in control. You pull over to the side of the road and you switch and you get in the passenger seat and you allow the Holy Spirit to drive it. And you just listen and you remain obedient to the steps that he takes you. Because sometimes acting in the now, God doesn't even give you the plan. He's just looking for your yes, and he gives you the instructions as you go along. He gives you the instructions on an as-need basis. Can anybody testify to that? Like, can anybody else recall a time when God spoke to you and told you to do something? You did not have the instructions. You just knew that you had to say yes. And once you said yes, then he gave you another instruction, not even the complete picture. Anybody else other than me have that happen to them?
Hey Tan, so I'm gonna say this: as we are sitting in an as needed basis forum that's almost 5 years old. So I just put it like that. Declare victory. I didn't know what I was doing. It was kind of, I don't know. I can't even really explain it. I didn't know what I was doing, and never in a million gazillion years thought for a second that we'd end up right here, ever.
If that's not a clear picture, like some people may not completely get it. I do, because, you know, and some of the folks that started it, you know, started with us, they would get it. But yeah, absolutely. Was there any fear on your part, Dion?
Absolutely. And the very first time I had to give a declaration, I hung up. Remember that?
Yeah, do I? I was like, oh, my God, this girl done hung up.
Jesus. It was hilarious. I hung the whole entire phone up.
And I could see you hanging it up, blinking your eyes like, oh, my God.
I could just told him. Oh man. Oh man.
That was hilarious. I thought I was gonna pass completely out.
So what happened to you? Your life changed. Your life changed because you made a decision in a way that you weren't even sure of. Even though on the journey, there were times when you wanted to quit because it just didn't seem like it was making sense. Am I right? It didn't seem like it was progressing or going the way that you thought.
I wanted to quit the other day, and then y'all laughing, but listen, I'm just saying. Yeah. But then, so being able to see, I think for me, the results that I wasn't really expecting, I just like to pray. You know what I mean? Like I wasn't even looking for an outcome other than people that like to pray. That's it.
Right.
I didn't have an agenda. So, and I thought it was weird. You told me you wasn't calling, so.
I didn't say that.
You did at first. You was like, listen, I'm not doing this with you. Dummy.
Because that's too early. That's probably what I said.
You said that it's too early in the morning, honey. I'm not doing all that. And I was like, yeah, all right, well, just call one time.
Right. Yeah. And I was like, I'm not calling because I know Deanna is trying to trick me. I know she's trying to trick me into something. And when I tell you the very first time that I called, and she said, Tanya, do you have a word you would like to share? That was a right now. That was not a now decision for me. That was a later decision for me. I knew I was supposed to, but I was like, surely this can, because I'm gonna call once and I'm not calling back. You know, because I'm not. But here's the funny part. I wasn't working. I had gotten terminated from my little job that, you know, Deanna and I was trying to work. We've been trying to work these little secular jobs. That ain't.
Help me.
Yeah, but anyway, that's a whole nother thing. But listen, even though you operate or you might act in the now on an as-needed basis, it does not mean that fear may not rise up. It may, because this is, you are walking out in uncharted waters, believing God. And so Joyce Myers used to say it often, do it afraid. As long as you know that God is leading you, you cannot go wrong. And what it does is that it gives us capacity, you guys. You have no idea how much you're missing out on when you allow fear to control you, when you allow fear to dictate your outcome. Your outcome could be remaining stuck. The outcome could be, you know, not walking in your purpose, not operating your purpose, whatever the outcome is, and to remain stuck. Like there's an expiration date on some of the things that God has for us. Like we could miss this whole timing, and God is not obligated to allow you to press restart. Does anybody get that? Well, actually,
I'm so serious. Everything you say, I mean, when I say I live, and when I had told my sister that, I was like, Kat, I'm sorry, I just really feel like fear. I just feel like I've just been, just always lived in fear. Fear has such a hold on me, and even now today is different. I know on today, because now I tell myself on today, no, God, Jesus, I tell myself, you got his hand, Jesus, you got his hand, you could do it, you know, and I just let go and just follow, you know, so I have more of a like, no, you're not about to sit in this fear, so I'm moving now. But before, I used to be stuck in that fear and that procrastination of just, oh, God, I really, when I look back, it consumed so much of my life. I just thank God for today. I just thank God, Jesus, for bringing me out, showing me that it's going to continue to take work and continue to take prayer and continue holding this in. And that's what I'm not going to let go. That's why I keep telling myself, I'm not going to let go, you know, because that fear really consumed me. It was to the point when I was a kid, the dreams used to just haunt me. Used to be, the devil used to come in my dreams. He used to tell me, you're my child. You're my child and you are my sister. My sister used to, if I wasn't able to put my foot next to her foot before I went to sleep, I used, cause she, in my dreams, she used to come and save me. Every time I used to, you know, we laugh about it now. She used to slay his ass. She used to get him, you know, back up off my, you know, she used to get him every time, you know. So it was just, we laugh about that now. But that fear used to haunt me since I was a kid. You know, it just was a trip that, of how it went on in my life. And just, you know, it's just for God on today. I thank Jesus on today. I'm not allowing that to just sit in oppression and be stuck in fear, you know?
Amen. Yes. Powerful testimony. What a powerful testimony.
Sorry. Thank you, God.
It's because you made a decision.
I related.
Yeah.
I so related to what you're saying.
It's because you made a decision. You guys, it's making a decision, even though you don't have all of the pieces together. Making a decision, I am not doing this anymore. Yes. You may not even, God may not have even given you a plan yet. Mm-hmm. But because you confess that thing out, I am not, it starts in your mind. Listen, something happens, like something snaps on the inside where you say, enough is enough. I'm not doing this anymore. This doesn't make any sense. I am going to believe God. I am going to get that job. I am going to lose weight. Mm-hmm. I am going to be healthy. I am going to, whatever you're going to do. Right? And then your words begin to, how do you say it, Dion? Your words follow your life? Or your life?
Your life follows your word.
Your life follows your word. But if you never say anything, if you succumb to the fear, if you miss the now opportunities, and that's what I want to get back to. Like, had I said no to Carl, you can't come over? And had I blown him off? Like, what do you want to talk to me for? I don't want to talk to you. Like, I would have missed this opportunity. I don't know that. Maybe God would have. Oh, go ahead, Diane.
I just wanted to say, you know, fear will grip you. When I did my testimony, and before I did it, it was, you know, fear set in. I was all ready to do it. And then before, when it got closer to giving it, fear just gripped me. And then when I told my testimony, and that same, well, the next Saturday after, when LaBelle did a declaration on, if you know, you have to want Jesus bad enough. And so God kept bringing to me my infidelity, and I had what I thought was behind me. And it was such an urgency because of how I have prayed to God to change some things in me, that I want to go deeper in Him. It was such an urgency. I was on that call, and then I was going to hang up and call my husband, but I waited until they went into corporate prayer. And then I called my husband because, for me, it was such an urgency. I had to do it right then before fear set in again. And then I didn't want that to be the case because I didn't know what God has in store for me. And I just know that the prompting kept coming back and I needed to do it right then. So I had to hang up, call my husband, talk with my husband, and then call back. When I called my husband, he said, Diane, we've been through this already. That's behind us. And I said, no, but God told me to tell you this way, and I have to do what God tells me. And after we talked for a while and I called back, then I was able to that's the part of my testimony that was left out. And I had to tell that on that call. And when I told that on my call and what had just happened,
how I hung up and called my husband. It's just like this still weight that was lifted off of me because I did not let fear set in. I did just what God told me to do at that moment because I didn't know what would come after that if I missed the window of what God had for my life at that time. So it was an urgency for me to do it. And all this month I've been in the book of Joshua, which encourages me that when God tells us something, we need to do it at that moment. Because when he tells us something and we do it at that moment, we have to realize that the blessings that God promised us are tied to our obedience. And going back to Deuteronomy 28, he said we're living under open heaven and our obedience is tied to those blessings that flows from that open heaven. Because God honors his word and his command that we follow everything that he has told us to, just like the children of Israel, like when Moses died and God told Joshua, I will be with you as I was with Moses, but you got to make sure that the people observe and do everything that I have commanded you because their victory depends on their obedience. So it was an urgency for me because I didn't want to miss the window. I didn't want to miss what God has for me and that he has for me is to walk in freedom in him, that I can abide, truly abide in him and let his word be aligned to my life. Because other than that, if I hadn't have been obedient, it's just a setback for me. And I didn't want that anymore. Because I've set myself back so many times for letting fear grip me and being afraid instead of trusting God. That's it.
Wow. The doors of the church are now open because Diane has preached on us for us this tier morning. That was absolutely beautiful, Diane. It covered the expiration date. It killed, what did Valerie call it? She did a declaration. The pimp called procrastination got fired. If we take that word as to what you said, so for me, I became even more enlightened by what you just said. The reason that we act on the nap, forgive the, I'm panting because I was doing some squats, so don't trip, I'm not going to die. The reason why he tells us to act now, you don't have time to think about it. You don't have time to delay. You act right now. You act in the moment, in the moment. So God is not like a man where he's going to lie and he's going to trick you and he's going to set you up to fail. That's not who God is. Human beings do that. The enemy does this as well. Oh, let me tell you, he is a master at tricking us. I clearly remember being tempted to do something as a kid. One time I remember as a kid, it was like I was sitting in my bedroom. My parents had converted part of the garage into my bedroom. They had a carpenter come out and they got my favorite color was purple, so my walls were like a deep purple, a deep lavender, not purple, but a deep lavender. And I remember I had this, y'all remember bedspreads? It was one of those bedspreads so it had embroidery in it, but the embroidery was raised, kind of almost like a shag carpet, but not that tall. And it had these patterns. So it was the bedspread was the base color was lavender, and then the patterns of the embroidery, they were white. And I remember sitting on my bed, and I was contemplating doing something that I knew was wrong, and if I got caught, I might get skinned alive. But I was sitting there thinking about it, and so it was like literally a war going on. I remember the enemy saying, "You can do it. You could get away with it.
no, you could do it this way, you could do it that way. He painted the picture so vividly for me. But the other side of me was saying, but what if you get caught? Like, if you do that thing and you get caught, what are the consequences going to be? At this point, I don't even remember what the thing was that he was tempting me with. And it wasn't like I was living saved either. I was not living a saved life at that point. But it was just something he was trying to bait me with to get me to go over the edge. And I would like to think that it was God talking to me saying, don't do it. Don't, it's not worth it. And I made a decision not to do it. And then there was another time when I did get baited and I did it. And after I did what he had tempted me to do and I got in trouble, I didn't get skinned alive, thank God, but I did get in trouble. I got in trouble. I heard the devil laughing at me once I got in trouble. I literally heard the laughter, like him cracking up laughing. And I want you to know today, that's exactly what he does. Like, you idiot, did you really believe me? You really thought that was going to happen? use a mark. That's what he does. That's how he punks us. How many of you on the line enjoy being punked? Let me see you raise your hands. Let me see all over the line. Let me see you raise your hand. Nobody raising their hand? Oh, is that one? You like being punked? No, I'm kidding. Nobody does. Nobody likes being, I don't think. I mean, there could be an exception to the rule, but I would imagine that nobody likes being made to look like an absolute idiot, but that is what he does. Every single time that we make a decision not to act on what God does, every time we disobey God's word, every time anytime we walk outside of the will of God, it's like, yep, I knew, they a sucker, I knew they was going to do it. When God is rooting for you, the Holy Spirit is rooting for you, Jesus is rooting for you, and there's a great cloud of witnesses that are rooting for you to make it, because you can. It's about the decision. Anybody else have anything? Now I'm going to get ready to, I'll give you guys some time back. No? Okay. Well,
this is Cornell from San Francisco. Just want to say good morning. Hey, Cornell. And I'm not living in fear no more.
Amen. That's awesome. It's liberating. Thank you for sharing that, Cornell. Yeah. When you let that fear go, it's like, it's liberating in that Diane described it, that weight is lifted from you. Like there is a certain amount of weight that is associated with the drama that we make a decision to hold on to. As soon as we release it, we feel freedom. Think about it like this. If you are traveling, you're going to travel by air to a particular destination. There's a certain amount of luggage that each passenger is allotted for the flight. I've been on a flight before, or getting ready to fly, and my luggage, it weighed too much, and I was forced to take some stuff out. I think Ravonda in her red suitcase, she told us about something like this. But I was forced to take some things out in order for me to make the flight. Now, I had a choice. I shouldn't say I was forced. I had a choice. I could leave all those things in my luggage and not get on the flight, miss my flight coming back home, by the way. Or I could make a decision to get rid of something decide to carry it on the plane with me. It was too heavy to be stored, right? So I did what I needed to do. But if everybody on the plane, if that happened to them, the plane would not be able to, it would be dangerous for us. Listen to this. If you catch this, you'll be blessed. It would be dangerous for us to be able to fly with every single passenger. If there are over 100 passengers on the flight and everybody has, you know, 10 to 15 pounds in excess of what is allotted, the plane may not take off at all, or the plane may be able to take off, but it would struggle while it is trying to get in the air, and we may not make it to our destination safely. So that's the same thing that happens with us. As we take things off, as we take fear off, as we take procrastination off, it liberates us and it gives us the ability to excel above where we are right now, not physically, but spiritually. It gives us the ability to excel to our purpose, to where God has designed us to be, this destination, this place that he wants us to get to. But if we make a conscious decision to hold on to that extra baggage, we're not going anywhere. We're not to where he wants us to go. We can go someplace, but it won't be where he designed. So with that said, I don't have anything else. I'm going to give you guys back some time and pray that you'll begin to move in your now moments. And I want to encourage you to call back in on tomorrow morning to hear the declaration for tomorrow. I'm not sure who's speaking tomorrow, but whoever it will be, it has been ordained, and they will give us a good right now word. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we just want to praise you and thank you for this opportunity to share. We thank you for those comments that were made. We even thank you for those that were on the line. They weren't able to speak, but they heard something today that will cause them to make right now decisions. Father, we ask that you would bless us as we go out into the marketplace, be it at the grocery store or the bank or our jobs or our businesses or school, whatever it is that we have to do today, that you would be with us and that we understand and recognize that we are blessed when we leave, we're blessed when we return. We pray for our children who are in school this morning, Father, that you would protect them from the hands of the pedophiles, from those that would exert bullying over them, Father. We pray for those that are having challenges, emotional challenges, God, that you'll give them a mind to make a decision now to trust you and to trust you completely. I lift up my family to you, Father, my extended family. You know what we are facing, God, and I thank you for resolution. I thank you for reunification. I thank you for restoration. And it's in Jesus' name that I pray and I give thanks. Thank God. Amen. You guys have a great day today. Be a blessing to somebody.
Have a wonderful day, everybody.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
And yeah, love you, family.
See you all in the morning. Love you.
Be blessed.
Be blessed.